You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down to earth.
Spanning the globe to bring you the latest developments in medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja.
We love the earth.
It's time for the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville. Now, here's your host, Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Friday, December 1st, 2017, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the program. So glad to have you here. It's my last show before I head off to Jamaica for a two-week vacation. So those of you listening to the podcast or following the live stream or watching on YouTube, my next live show is going to be on December 19th, Tuesday, December 19th. So we'll have some time off, but you can check out my social media, Radical Russ, on Twitter and Facebook for pictures and commentary from the beautiful white sand beaches of Negril, Jamaica. I'll also be visiting the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a day and then 3 days in Las Vegas, where I hope to be watching my alma mater, Boise State Broncos, as Mountain West champions, taking on whoever it is from the Pac-12 that ends up in the Las Vegas Bowl. It'll be my first college bowl game. Looking forward to that. If the Broncos go, that explains the hat and the shirt and the tie, because this is my last show before the Broncos play the Mountain West Championship at Boise State tomorrow, as well as the Las Vegas Bowl, which is on the 16th, I believe it is, or the 15th, one of those days. So go Big Blue, had to show my school spirit. All right, on today's show, today is also the start of the International Cannabis Business Conference in Kauai, Hawaii, and Doug Benson is hosting the VIP reception. He's going to be there, and we're going to replay the interview that I had with Doug Benson, where we talked at length about comedy in a post for 420 comedy in a post-legalization world, as well as his views on marijuana portrayals in the movies and what it's like to do the International Cannabis Business Conference. Shout out to all my friends out there in Hawaii. Aloha to you all. Also on the program today, in What in the News, the state of Oregon, my home state, has debuted official state videos promoting the legal recreational marijuana industry. We'll show you a couple of them. Also in the Radical Rant, we're going to talk about Washington and Oregon and why they're making home cannabis cultivation so complicated, so confusing, so difficult, and most of all, so expensive for those patients that really need it. But first, let's get to the cannabis headline news.
This is your cannabis headline news, brought to you by MarijuanaMoment.net, the complete source for all your marijuana news in one morning newsletter from Marijuana Majority founder Tom Angel. Subscribe today for free at MarijuanaMoment.net.
This is your cannabis headline news for Friday, December 1st, 2017. I'm Russ Belville. The Honolulu Police Department said it is reviewing a controversial policy that requires legal medical marijuana patients to surrender their guns because pot is considered a federally illegal drug. The policy review follows community backlash since news of the letters sent to at least 30 legal medical cannabis users and permitted gun owners spread nationally this week via marijuana websites and the media. HPD spokesman Michelle Yu said some of the letters that were sent out starting in January may have been authorized by police commanders, but not necessarily by the new police chief, Susan Ballard. Ballard's name is at the bottom of the most recent letter, dated November 13th, along with HPD Major Raymond Anchetta, but only Anchetta's signature appears on a copy viewed by the Honolulu Star-Advertiser. The founders of the ill-fated 2015 Ohio Issue 3 marijuana legalization initiative are suing the state after their bid for one of the coveted large-scale medical marijuana grow licenses was rejected. CannAscend Ohio, a local company headed by Jimmy Gould, Bill Brisbane, and Ian James, was rejected for one of the 12 licenses that allow for cultivation of up to 25,000 square feet of cannabis canopy for sale in the medical marketplace. Ohio legalized that following Issue 3's electoral failure. Gould claims the more than 100 applications that were submitted were put in the hands of just three unqualified application graders and bureaucrats with little or no oversight, which he characterized as, quote, a glorified essay writing contest, end quote, during a press conference this afternoon. Gould said he and other unsuccessful license applicants will soon file a lawsuit seeking to preserve all records and communications used by the State Commerce Department to review and score the applications. Gould claims numerous problems with the process, including one license winner claiming to have required financing but still fundraising after getting their license, and two license winners being given preference due to race and class that Gould claims is unconstitutional in Ohio. 10 medical marijuana dispensaries in Maryland will start selling the herb to patients today, 4 years after the state approved a medical marijuana law. The state's rollout has been one of the slowest of the more than two dozen medical marijuana programs across the country. There are already more than 13,000 people who have signed up with hopes of eventually becoming medical marijuana patients, and of those, more than 8,000 are now allowed to purchase it. Maryland's medical marijuana program is still in its infancy, and more growers, processors, and dispensaries will open in the coming months. Once the program is fully functional, there will be 102 dispensaries, 15 processors, and 15 growers across the state. The Constitutional Court of the former Soviet Republic of Georgia has ruled it is unconstitutional to criminally prosecute people for consuming cannabis, effectively decriminalizing its use. The decision means people will no longer be punished under the criminal code or jailed for consuming cannabis, but they could still face penalties such as fines or community service under the administrative code. In a previous judgment in 2015, the court decriminalized possession of anything less than 70 grams of cannabis. In a separate matter, parliamentary hearings on Georgia's drug decriminalization bill, which would decriminalize possession of all drugs, are scheduled to begin next week. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention have published a study claiming that, quote, exposure to marijuana advertisements was associated with higher odds of current marijuana use among adolescents, end quote. Current marijuana use in the study was toking at least once a month. Adolescent data came from the Monitoring the Future survey of 8th, 10th, and 12th graders. But while increased use was, quote, significantly associated with ads from, quote, storefronts, magazines, or newspapers, billboards, internet, television, and radio, end quote, only internet advertisements were seen by a majority of the adolescents, and it was the only media showing that association with increased use, with, quote, no significant associations found between frequency of marijuana use and other types of exposure, end quote. Exposure to ads from multiple media outlets was associated with greater likelihood of current use, but not increase in use. One of boxing's greatest promoters, 86-year-old Bob Arum, who promoted Muhammad Ali, Sugar Ray Leonard, and others in the 80s, credits marijuana for his career longevity, saying, quote, I started using it in 1966. I don't do it at work. I do it for recreation. It's good for you. It's good for you. Cannabis is good for you, end quote. This has been your Cannabis Headline News for Friday, December 1st, 2017.
You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville. The Marijuana Agenda is a listener-supported independent podcast brought to you by Radical Russ Media, LLC. Subscribe to our VIP feed at mjagenda.com for access to our ad-free podcast segment archive. Make a one-time donation to support The Marijuana Agenda at paypal.me/radicalruss. You're not high. You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
This is high-purity THC content marijuana, and it's not a healthy substance.
Okay, maybe you're a little high.
Looking for the 420-friendliest way to visit beautiful legal Potland, Oregon?
I'm Lori Duckworth, inviting you to come stay with us at Delta 9 House and Studios.
You get your own private room with queen bed and access to our high-speed Wi-Fi, premium entertainment system, and more.
We'll even cook you breakfast. Look us up on Facebook at Delta 9 House.
That's facebook.com/Delta9House.
Delta 9 House is booked through Airbnb.com, City of Portland, permit number 17-159855.
People should say no to drug use.
It's really, really easy.
Adding more gasoline to the fire.
Lackadaisical.
Really tough, really big, really great to infect and rot our nation.
Dangerous and gateway drugs.
We don't need to be legalizing marijuana.
To build and grow a stronger, healthier, and drug-free society.
What in the news? Today in What in the News, I am proud to be showing you the debut of some videos, just a couple of them, but they're part of a package have been produced by the Oregon Liquor Control Commission, which is also in charge of regulating recreational cannabis here in the state of Oregon. It's all part of an advertising campaign called Go Legal. And the idea is to get people, especially people on the illicit side of the cannabis market, to take up being legal growers, processors, wholesalers, and retailers of cannabis and other products. So I'm just excited that I live in a state where my taxpayer funds spent money to make a series of educational videos promoting cannabis commerce, legal cannabis commerce. It's an amazing time to be alive, and it's a great early Christmas present. Let me show you this first one. They have a series of these videos describing the seed to sale process in Oregon and how to get your licenses and so forth. And they deal with every aspect. There's videos for the testers and for the wholesalers and for seeds and so forth. I'm going to focus on just two of the videos. One for the retailers of marijuana in Oregon, the pot shops, if you will, and this one for the growers of cannabis or the producers of cannabis in Oregon.
The Oregon Liquor Control Commission has created the Go Legal public awareness campaign to help Oregonians better understand our state's legal marijuana market. The Go Legal campaign underscores the importance of marijuana consumers and the industry choosing to participate in the regulated market, while working together to eliminate the illegal market and its criminal activity. Producers plant, cultivate, grow, harvest, and dry marijuana. Here, we introduce some of our licensees and learn how being a part of OLCC's regulated market has impacted their business.
We focus a lot of our energy on trying to make sure that our plants are grown as naturally as they can, being a part of the newest and best and brightest, making sure that our growers have the right information to be successful, making sure that every time our plants go to market, they've been treated with the best love and kindness that we can give them. What cannabis has done for the state of Oregon in terms of bringing job opportunities has been tremendous. We've hired a couple of people in the last year, and we're looking at hiring probably another 10 to 14 people in the next year, giving people opportunities that never existed before. Without this industry, there's 10 or 12,000 people that wouldn't be employed in the state of Oregon right now.
We are committed to paying a living wage here and health benefits, and I think that people are really starting to see this industry, this regulated industry, as a boon for education and knowledge and breaking that stigma that has been long pervasive in this industry.
Folks that have been working for decades in the cannabis industry now have a level of protection that they didn't before. Oregon has a long history of supporting small companies and helping them retain their flavor, if you will.
Yeah, their identity.
And I feel this has been reflected in the OLCC's approach to regulation of upstart cannabis companies.
Oregonians are revolutionary. It's one of the reasons we moved here 25 years ago. We liked the fact that cottage industries were respected. People could do things from their own property and make things or grow something and have it be accepted.
Oregon is doing a great job of rolling out the industry. One of the aspects that I appreciate is the rigorous pesticide testing. I think that that's going to set Oregon apart as the cannabis industry develops nationwide. Oregon is going to develop a reputation for purity and integrity because of our rigorous pesticide testing.
Exactly like why we want to eat organic and grow organic and have an organic orchard here and grow our own foods and work with locals here. The same reason we want people to be doing it with cannabis. And I think it's something that people can understand.
Seed to sale is one of the best things to happen to the cannabis industry because it allows you to track where your plants came from.
These great little blue plant tags right here, that tracks the plant all the way from when it was a seed that was propagated, and that goes all the way through to the bud on the shelf or the oil that was produced by it or the edible that was produced by it. That increases the level of transparency and accountability of growers to know that it all comes back to the soil, to where the plant came from and who grew it with what practices.
In 10 years, I see the Oregon cannabis industry being a nationwide leader. Cannabis may be Oregon's number one cash crop, and I certainly believe that it's going to be one of the largest economic sectors in Oregon in 10 years.
great video from the Oregon Liquor Control Commission and a few familiar faces in that video as well. For those of us who've been participating in the Oregon industry for a while, activism as well in medical marijuana. We've got another video from the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. This one is on the retail side of the industry. So if you're interested in being a seller of cannabis in Oregon, this video is for you.
The Oregon Liquor Control Commission has created the Go Legal Public Awareness Campaign to help Oregonians better understand our state's legal marijuana market. The Go Legal campaign underscores the importance of marijuana consumers and the industry choosing to participate in the regulated market while working together to eliminate the illegal market and its criminal activity. Retailers sell or deliver marijuana items directly to consumers. Here, we introduce some of our licensees and learn how being a part of the OLCC's regulated market has impacted their business.
Just with the culture and history of cannabis growing and cannabis culture in this state, we don't think there's anywhere better to be right now in the cannabis industry. We only see that growing in the next 2 to 10 years. We think that Oregon has a really great culture of valuing craft, and we are excited to see the craft cannabis movement really develop here and see producers who are working to produce things in a sustainable and ethical way really rise to the top.
So as fifth generation family farmers, it's great to see products that we grow in normal farming, say if it's rice or almonds or walnuts. Now we are able to take what we've learned from our normal agricultural business and apply it to cannabis and create a farm to table model here. And so on our family farm now, that where we produce cannabis, we're able to take it just down the road to our family stores and sell it legally to our customers who come in.
I believe that, you know, the industry being regulated helps everybody. The consumer is getting a safer product, they're getting a more consistent product, and, you know, the business owner gets to sleep at night knowing that they're doing things correctly.
We were motivated to get into the cannabis industry to provide safe access and to really educate consumers on this plant.
Our economy not only contributes to the cannabis industry, but it also trickles down so much to Oregon's economy. It's created thousands of jobs in manufacturing and farming, and it's really put us in a place in the United States where we can be true leaders through our experience.
Yeah, it's really cool seeing the industry grow here. You know, we have 65 employees now. It's really cool to see the ripple effect that the cannabis industry is doing.
We love being Oregonians. We love being a part of the lifestyle here, and we tried that to bring that into everything we do here in the shop. We have a lot of local artists that were a part of helping us with our design, from, you know, cannabis to the glass artists that we have, and now we're creating this well-regulated marketplace that gives consumers more options and more confidence in what they're getting.
So in Oregon, with OLCC regulating our market and metric tracking all of our products, you're able to see from the time a plant starts as a seed or as a clone, how it's grown, who grows it, and where it goes to.
The cannabis tracking system has kind of helped us to streamline things, even as far as handling vendors and just as far as the tracking and the peace of mind of knowing where everything is and really putting public safety at the forefront of everything that they're doing. We think that the cannabis industry is just an amazing space to be in right now, and we're excited to grow and watch others grow with us.
It's so exciting to know that these videos are going to be distributed, and they're not just on YouTube, but you can also imagine that they're going to be packaged up and distributed to state legislators all across the country. Even foreign leaders are going to see these videos coming from the state of Oregon. So professionally produced, good-looking, average folks that are making good in a new blossoming industry, pardon the pun, and the government standing behind it. The official stamp from the state of Oregon saying, hey, this is our legal system. There's nothing scary about it. We're tracking what's going on in it. Everything's regulated. We're testing for pesticides. So many little facts that got into those videos that are going to calm the fears of some of those people out there that are reticent to allow marijuana cultivation, marijuana legalization to happen in their state. Bravo to the OLCC and the participants, some of you whom I know, for participating in that video, the set of videos. I encourage you to check them out at oregon.gov.
Man, I'm not going to any more of these bullshit Puno parties.
Wow. President Obama has really, really let it loose since he's left the Oval Office, hasn't he? Hey, it's 20 after the hour on a Friday. That means it's 4:20 in the Mountain Time Zone. Happy 4:20 to my Boise State Broncos and alumni as we get ready for the Mountain West Championship tomorrow. Cool Big Blue. Coming back from the break, we've got our anti-drug public service announcement and Doug Benson.
If you work in the cannabis industry, consume marijuana, or just support freedom, you need to know about breaking policy news that affects you. Marijuana Moment is the daily newsletter that helps you stay on top of all the latest and most important state, federal, and international cannabis developments. Brought to you by longtime legalization activist Tom Angel, Marijuana Moment puts a concise yet comprehensive overview of cannabis news in your inbox early every weekday morning. Wake up to Marijuana Moment and rest assured you'll be ready for the cannabis news that's driving the day. Subscribe now at marijuanamoment.net.
The Marijuana Agenda, like the gay agenda, only with better music.
The International Cannabis Business Conference is headed to Hawaii. Get your tickets now for the year's best cannabis industry island retreat this December 1st through 3rd. Kauai Grand Hyatt hosts the three-day ICBC, which begins with a VIP reception featuring cannabis comedian Doug Benson. The ICBC features exhibitor booths, keynote speeches, and informative panels with industry experts and regulatory officials. Then, when it's all said and done, kick back for the incredible after-party with music by reggae legends Morgan Heritage. There's also a singles golf tournament you can play on Monday, sponsored by Leafly Endured Ventures. Log on to internationalcbc.com to get more information and buy your tickets now. Special discount hotel rates are in effect, so act fast. That's internationalcbc.com for the International Cannabis Business Conference. Aloha.
Now, in the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Marijuana Agenda presents this anti-drug public service announcement.
One joint contains as much cancer-causing tar as four cigarettes. Marijuana, it's more harmful than we all thought.
This has been an actual anti-drug public service announcement. To combat this and other drug war hysteria, listen to the Marijuana Agenda every weekday at 3 p.m. Pacific at live.mjagenda.com or download the free podcast at mjagenda.com.
Hey everybody, it's Russ Belto from the Marijuana Agenda, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
The Marijuana Agenda. Like the pharmaceutical agenda, without all the side effects, overdose deaths, you know, insurance.
Side effects may include nausea, dry mouth, and constipation. Dry mouth, constipation, indigestion, and abdominal pain.
Which can occur without warning and may cause death.
The Marijuana Agenda free podcast is available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, SoundCloud, and on our Facebook page at MJ Agenda. Free video archives are available at the Radical Russ channel on YouTube. Help keep this media free by making a donation at paypal.me/radicalruss. The cannabis community is a diverse set of people from all walks of life. Conservative and liberal, black and white, straight and gay, rich and poor, and everyone in between. Learn more about the people we are freeing from adult cannabis prohibition in our Cannabis Community Chat.
Welcome, everyone, to an extended edition of the Cannabis Community Chat. I'm Russ Belville, and joining us today, we've got one of our favorite guests. You know him, you love him, you can't get enough of him. He's the host of Doug Loves Movies podcast. You've seen him on The High Court, on Comedy Central. You've seen him in the movie Super High Me, or heard him as the voice of Bane in the Lego Batman movie. It's Doug Benson, who's going to be appearing at the International Cannabis Business Conference in Hawaii, December 1st through the 3rd. He's hosting the VIP reception. Morgan Heritage is playing the after party. It's going to be an amazing event. Doug Benson, how are
you
today?
How's it going?
I'm doing good. It's great to talk to you again. I met you a few years ago at the world-famous Cannabis Cafe here in Portland, Oregon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, back in the day when we had such a thing.
Right. So, I guess there's less call for it now?
Well, yeah, and that's something, you know, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about as well, is with legalization, how things have changed. We used to have cannabis cups and cannabis cafes up here in the Pacific Northwest, and since we legalized, they've kind of gone away. It's a little weird, man.
Yeah, that is weird.
So, how about on your side of things, when you're, you're well known for being cannabis comedian and all of that, has legalization changed things from your perspective?
It does feel a little bit like there's certainly less excitement or fever for the idea of, oh, this guy is going to talk about marijuana, or this guy, you know, smokes a ton of weed and then comes out on stage, and, people are more, relaxed about it, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not so shocking anymore.
Yeah, and it's funny because there was always, along the way in my career, the more and more I made marijuana a part of my act and my life, the more I'd hear from people saying, part of the reason that it's everybody likes it so much is because the excitement of it not being legal. And, I always thought that was silly, especially when it comes to smoking marijuana. Like, people are certainly not less interested in it now that it's legal. I'm sure there's even more people smoking than ever, especially ones that are willing to admit it. But in terms of comedy, it has kind of shifted a little bit in that it seems like the novelty sort of worn off a little bit.
Is that mostly in the states where they've made changes, like California, the rest of the West Coast? I mean, do you still get some people that are shocked and amazed by it, say, in Alabama?
Yeah, and they're not as much shocked by it. It's just they're just sort of, they're still sort of excited about the idea of but these places that I come from. You know, when I come from California, it just seems like such a mystical land to some people. Like, some people say, oh, it's never going to be legal in our state, or you'll never come play our town because we're in a place where it's not going to be legal. And, before legalization started happening everywhere and since, I've been happy to go anywhere because, as a fairly discreet white male with money, I can pretty much smoke weed anywhere I go and get away with it. I still feel a little bit of that, like, this is illegal here, I should be careful. But it's certainly, especially if you look at the national polling numbers, like, people are just pretty accepting of it these days.
Yeah, it seems like the shock factor is kind of wearing off, and that leads me into another avenue of questions I wanted to get to you, and that is, you're well known for doing the Doug Loves Movies podcast, and you're a big fan of movies and TV and that sort of media. And, back in the day, even just a decade ago, Showtime comes out with Weeds, and it's big shock, a story about someone selling pot. And now, Netflix comes out with Disjointed, and it just seems kind of passe. What do you think about the media's treatment, TV and movies treatment of marijuana these days post-legalization?
Well, it feels like I haven't watched Disjointed because I've had too many people tell me that it would make me unhappy because it's kind of like it feels like having a dispense. Something taking place in a dispensary, but there's a live audience just laughing at everything everybody says, just, like I said, I haven't seen the show, but it feels like it would ring incredibly false. But in terms of the overall treatment in the media, I think it's great that, more movies and TV shows are tackling it. It's kind of interesting that it's still, if you have anybody smoking pot in a movie, it automatically, I think, knocks it up to maybe PG-13, and if there's a lot of it, even an R rating, even though chances are, it is a legal activity in, whatever place the film takes place. But my biggest beef is that, AMC's Walking Dead. The Walking Dead is like the most, successful weekly television program on TV right now, or at least it was the last time I looked. And these people are living in the apocalypse, and they're going around scavenging and getting everything they can find and then using it to survive. And no one has ever talked about or smoked marijuana on the show. And it just seems like that would be a great time for there to be a character that's like excited to be able to smoke all the weed, or maybe upset that the zombies are keeping him from the weed,
Or what do you know? They find out that cannabinoids actually kill the walkers, and they start shooting them with weed.
Yeah, that would be great, But makes them less. It's got the opposite effect. It makes them less hungry. They're less hungry for flesh if they just smoke a little weed. So. So that's kind of frustrating to me because I do love that show, but it's been how many seasons now? Like 7 or 8 seasons, and it just doesn't even come up. And also, that's part of the reason I bet it's never come up is because the network and the show kind of considers themselves family entertainment, even though it's got all this murder and mayhem every week,
Yeah. Interesting that we can see the blood and viscera, but someone smoking a joint, we want to keep the kids from that. Oh, my goodness.
Exactly.
Yeah. Another thing that's on my mind that I wanted to bring up with you is, we've been hearing a lot coming out of Hollywood with the Weinstein scandal and sexual harassment and all of that going on. And aside from, the Hollywood aspect of that, I'm also curious about the comedy aspect of that. Is this a problem in stand-up comedy in the comedy circuit like it is in Hollywood, this sexual harassment?
Well, I imagine that, of course, it is. That's the thing about it is that we're going to find out in more and more places, more worlds, where men who have some power, and in some cases women, and in some cases gay men, like we just found out with Kevin Spacey.
Yeah.
Like it's the people with that kind of power are unfortunately going to abuse it. In the case of comedy, I think, every woman in comedy probably has plenty of stories about being harassed, and not only by audiences, but by other comedians that are more successful than them, club owners. I'm sure that stuff like that, could potentially come out. I mean, it just seems like the floodgates have opened in terms of nobody that's got, been doing stuff like that is going to, it's going to be harder to get away with it, and more people are going to share their stories.
Yeah, it's something we all need to be paying attention to and definitely taking the word of the people who are coming out and making these claims, and it's something that definitely needs to change. The other thing about Hollywood that's been in the news a lot lately is the idea of diversity in Hollywood. A couple of years ago, the hashtag was Oscars So White. Seems to have gotten a little bit better, but as you're, you see far, far more movies than I do. What do you think of that situation? Is it improving? Has it just been a little bit of window dressing, or is it truly getting better?
It's improving in too slowly, though, because the basic problem is the people producing and directing most movies are just white men. It's just they're not. There's maybe 2% of all the directors are women, and maybe 10% of all the producers. Something very very low, sad numbers, and for people of color as well. just the more people that are, you know, making these movies that are women or are people of color, the more of them they can hire and work with and you know, tell their stories. Certainly Wonder Woman was a great breakthrough, that was one of the most popular movies this year, and it's, you know, and it's all about a woman, you know, at least it wasn't that that silly backlash that the all-female Ghostbusters, you know, got. Like, that was, I thought that was ridiculous. I think any man who's mad about it is just also, it's just sexist to be mad about it. But yeah, it's definitely getting better, but there's still a long way to go.
Just kind of a fantasy question here for you: of Marvel Cinematic Universe versus DC Universe. A, which one's cooler? And B, which character would you most want to smoke a joint with?
Well,
probably
I am
not Flash.
Probably
not the Flash. He'd go through all that shit too fast, right?
Well, yeah, and he also doesn't he doesn't stick around to share. You know, you
That's
pass
right.
the joint and then he's gone. but I'd have to say I'm the voice of Bane in the Lego Batman movie. And so that would definitely be my choice, is to see if Bane could even smoke with that mask that he's got on his face.
You have to have a special, like, adapter or something, I suppose.
yeah. And also, would that mellow him out and make him not a bad guy anymore?
Yeah, we ought to see what weed does to the Hulk as well, and maybe chill him out a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's talk about your career a little bit. Last I saw on Comedy Central, you were doing The High Court, and it's kind of amazing to me. You know, we've come to an era now where people are actually smoking weed on TV and talking about it. Did that shock and surprise you, and is there more of that coming?
Well, I hope there's more coming. You know, after the initial run of The High Court, it became very clear that we're still in a not in a great place when it comes to genuinely consuming marijuana on television. Comedy Central had trouble securing big sponsors and big advertisers, the kinds they're accustomed to for all of their other shows, like South Park and Daily Show and what have you. So that was one of a few reasons that they gave me for not picking up the show. And then I see other shows where, like there's a channel Vice, they're definitely, fully immersed in weed culture, and it's a great network. But, pretty much everywhere else that's got, that's advertiser television, they may talk about smoking weed, but they're not showing it. And if they do, it's just pretend, it's just some sort of fake weed that they smoke for the cameras. So that's frustrating that we're still not there on that. But at the same time, just the fact that, I got a show like that on at all without too much pushback from the network. The main thing they were concerned about was safety. So we came up with all these inside the soundstage where we shot the show, we came up with all of these ways to make it so that no one was, nobody that maybe didn't want to get high was anywhere near the weed whenever we'd smoke it. And then they also had this complex ventilation system so that even though it was a gigantic soundstage, people were worried that, it would get hotboxed and people would get a contact high. And so they went to a lot of trouble to make sure that it was done safely. And then we also had a big, long disclaimer at the top of the show that said, hey, what we're doing here is legal in this state. We're not breaking state law.
I'm imagining the old Get Smart cones of silence coming down around you to keep your pot smoking you.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is that, I just wanted to fully commit to getting pot smoking on television. So I was very adamant, because it occasionally came up, hey, do we have to see the pot smoking? Can we just imply that it happened or say that it happened? And I was just very clear that I wanted it to happen on television, but that may have been, in terms of long-term employment, that may have been my biggest mistake. Because if we had just said, we're going to the deliberation room, and then winked and left the room and then came back, I don't know. It could potentially still be a show on TV.
Or play that, pan the camera around the circle like they did on that 70s show.
Yeah, they got away with that for the whole run of their show. It was clear what was going on. They even had Tommy Chong in the circle sometimes.
Yeah, no kidding. That's definitely a giveaway. So you're out on tour, of course, almost all the time, and people are going to, be coming to your shows. What are you getting? Are you getting different reactions nowadays under legalization? Does the heckling change? Is anything different for you as a comedian trying to work in the legalization world?
Well, people, will occasionally throw some marijuana up onto the stage, which I, can't complain about.
Not so bad.
I enjoy that part of it. I'd say the heckling might be just, there might be some enthusiastic people that are, maybe come to my show more because they're excited about marijuana than specifically me or my comedy. But then the greatest thing that still exists is, if it's at all possible for me to step outside the club into some sort of alley or something after the show, because I still haven't encountered any, comedy clubs that legally they can't have weed smoking and alcohol in the same facility. Pretty much in all the states that have legalized it, they made that's part of the deal. And unfortunately, comedy clubs make all their money from the selling alcohol part of it. So since there's no venues that I can really, smoke with the fans in, like I was saying, I step outside and, pretty much every show I do, there's some people out there and we have a nice little, session.
That's very good to hear. So looking forward in your career here, what can we look forward to coming out as far as you were in the Lego Batman movie you mentioned with the voiceover? Any more voiceover or acting work in the films we should be looking forward to?
I'm doing, I have a very small part in a indie film that's gotten some great reviews and some awards. It's called Mr. Roosevelt, and it's slowly opening across the country now, and then it'll be on Netflix towards the end of the year. And there's this funny thing that's been happening on the show You're the Worst on FXX, where the creator of that show, I've known him for a little while. He used to work on the show Weeds. And then he created You're the Worst, and he came up with this idea to have me come on the show as myself. I play Doug Benson, but the joke is whenever you see me, I'm wearing a suit and I'm running a huge corporation, and the whole weed smoking thing is just sort of like a gimmick that got me there, and I'm not really the pothead that I, pretend to be in my life and my comedy.
Yeah.
So it's a total like bizarro, anti Doug Benson, and the lines they give me are really funny. And then I appear a few times throughout this season of the show that's currently running. And then an episode that hasn't aired yet, you actually see me stoned and, behaving like I'm high, because one of the characters, catches me at home instead of at the office.
Uh-huh. It sounds like that.
That's pretty funny. And I'm always trying to get new ideas and series and movie stuff. I'm always trying to get different things off the ground, and we're still continuing with my internet show, Getting Dug with High. We still make approximately one a week of that for YouTube, and it also plays on Pluto TV now, which is a growing thing that apparently young people watch a lot of, but I'm barely familiar with it.
Right on. So, Doug, as we wind this thing up and about to let you go, I want to make sure we get to this question. You've seen a lot of movies, as we've mentioned before. In your estimation, what are the best and worst movies when it comes to not just being about pot, but their depictions of pot and pot users? Anything come to mind?
Well, you know, best is any movie where people just, you know, casually smoke weed and enjoy themselves, and it's, you know, and it's just portrayed in a positive manner. Like, you have to go back to movies like Poltergeist and 9 to 5. Both have, like, kind of famous, you know, adults just smoking weed and giggling and having a nice time sequences. But these movies lately where it's, you know, sort of about marijuana, like some of the most popular ones of all time, the go-to answer is, if somebody says, you know, what are the great pot movies? People say, you know, Dazed and Confused. They say Pineapple Express, and they say Half-Baked. But what they leave out is that in Dazed and Confused, there's bullies that are hassling kids throughout the entire film. And in Pineapple Express, gets extremely violent. All the characters are very violent to each other, even though it's you know, supposed to be a weed movie. And then Half-Baked, the hero of the movie, Dave Chappelle's character, quits smoking weed at the end of the movie for his girlfriend, and that's supposed to be a happy ending, that he's
right.
not doing it just for her. And then he winks at the camera, so good for him on that, I say. But, you know, it's probably part of the thing to get the movie made, you know, at the time.
Yeah.
But so I don't really have, like, a do you have one? Is there one where that's more recent where pot is depicted in a positive way?
I'm thinking of that. I can't remember. Was it called It's Complicated? Steve Martin, Meryl Streep. Yeah. And Alec Baldwin.
Yeah, they smoked pot pretty casually in that movie, and I was very happy to see it at the time. But that movie's probably a good 10 years old at this point, right?
Yeah, I think so. We've seen, you know, Adventureland. Kristen Stewart was in that show, but that was more like a show about potheads itself. So I don't know if that was so casual necessarily. Those are the ones that come to mind for me, actually. So as we, one last question for you, Doug, I know you've got to go. One of the other most famous Hollywood stoners out there, Woody Harrelson, it's been revealed he's quit for about the past 18 months. Have you had a similar long period where you've gone without weed? And what do you think about Woody's choice?
You know, I'm happy for anybody that decides it's going to be better for them if they quit. A comedian friend of mine named Ron Funches decided to take October off, and he was like a all day, every day smoker.
And, you know, Ron,
you know, he's been tweeting about his experience, and a lot of it is, you know, not happy that he can't have weed. But on the other hand, it's showing that it's, you know, it's just not as addictive as everyone who's against marijuana likes to claim it is.
Sure.
And that if you, you know, if you desire to stop, if you want to feel less of the things that marijuana makes you feel, you know, you can. And then, of course, on the other hand, marijuana has helped people I know get off of alcohol and pills and other things that they, you know, shouldn't be doing. So I personally have not had a break in a very long time. I'll have days where I, you know, don't smoke because I try not to operate a motor vehicle after I smoke weed. But fortunately, with you know, walking or ride sharing, you know, I'm able to you know, get around and do stuff if I, you know, choose to get high before, you know, leaving the house. But so some days I'll go, you know, maybe 6-7 hours, not to mention if I'm working on a movie set or something and I have a lot of dialogue, you know, it's probably best for me not to get too high because I got to, you know, remember my lines. But, you know, good for Woody Harrelson. Good for, you know, there was that point where Snoop Dogg said he was out, but then it turned out that he wasn't really, but he said it just because, you know, it's always a not only a good PR move, but if you're, you know, if you're somebody like Woody Harrelson, you don't want to worry that people are going to not hire you because they just think you're a pothead. you know, and that you're going to show up high and ruin everything. But he's been such a good actor in so many things for so long. I you know, I can't imagine that it was ever a problem for him on set. But I'm also fine with him quitting, and I'm also fine with him, you know, starting back up again someday.
Well, if Woody Harrelson ain't smoking, that's just more for you and me, right?
Exactly.
That's the way we potheads think. Doug Benson, it's always a joy talking to you. Folks, check him out. Twitter handles at Doug Benson. And don't forget that Doug will be appearing at the VIP reception for the International Cannabis Business Conference in Hawaii. Check it out at International Cannabis Business Conference online, intlcbc.com. And get your flight to Hawaii and hang out with Doug. We appreciate you coming on to the Marijuana Agenda and talking to us.
Thanks, dude.
This episode was produced as part of the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville, the daily news and interview podcast covering the world of medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja. MJAgenda.com.
The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville is brought to you by Cannabis Kamikaze, a professional licensed producer from Canada producing 3 pounds per light. Follow Cannabis Kamikaze on Twitter at Cannabis Kamikaze. That's at Cannabis, K-A-M-I-K-A-Z, Cannabis Kamikaze.
The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Law enforcement is a part of the answer. It's part of creating a climate of hostility to drug use in America.
Whatever you're smoking, it's not marijuana.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Health Cannabinoid, your ACMPR experts. Consultation services for medical cannabis. Visit healthcannabinoid.com or call 1-800-906-1383. That's www.healthcannabinoid.com or call 1-800-906-1383. Health Cannabinoid.
Total war against public enemy number one.
10 federal criminal penalties for up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
Marijuana is probably the most dangerous drug.
Legalization is just another word for surrender.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
This is not medicine. This is a Cheech and Chong show.
Encourage people to use less drugs.
I am ill.
That was the point.
I think it would be a mistake to leave the state.
Negative reports coming out of Colorado.
Don't smoke marijuana.
It seems like it should be an easy question to answer. How many cannabis plants are you legally allowed to cultivate at home if you're an adult living in Washington or Oregon? After all, both states approved medical marijuana 19 years ago. Washington's had marijuana legalization for 5 years and Oregon for 3. If any place should have a handle on indoor home cannabis cultivation, it should be the Pacific Northwest. And yet, the lawmakers in those states are still treating home grows as restrictively as if people were building homemade nuclear weapons. In the Evergreen State, if you're a person authorized by a doctor and approved by the state to use marijuana for medical purposes, you may cultivate 4 cannabis plants in your home and possess 6 ounces of usable marijuana. Now that has been reduced from the 15 plants and 24 ounces that existed before recreational legalization. Wait, 6 ounces from 4 plants? Just 1.5 ounces a plant? Why does the state think medical marijuana patients are such terrible growers?
Seems to me that you could get that from one plant. Doesn't this just set up patients to have criminal amounts of marijuana at home every time they harvest? Well, if you're worried about that, you can choose to sign up on the state's new medical marijuana registry. If you do, then you're allowed to cultivate 6 cannabis plants and possess 8 ounces. So, instead of 1.5 ounces per plant, now you're down to 1 1/3. So you're even more likely to be harvesting a criminal amount. And now, maybe you need a great deal of marijuana. Your doctor can then approve you for up to 15 plants and possession of 16 ounces, or 1 1/15 ounces per plant. That's right. The more plants Washington approves you to cultivate, the less marijuana you're legally allowed to harvest off of each plant. Of course, if you're healthy, you can't grow any cannabis plants because Washington infamously failed to include any home grow rights in its 2012 marijuana legalization initiative. Since then, voters in 7 other states and Washington, D.C. have approved marijuana legalization, and they all allow adults to cultivate their own cannabis plants at home. Washington's cannabis regulators heard a lot of complaints about that, so they decided to research 3 other states, Colorado, Oregon, and Rhode Island? Okay, to take input from the public and law enforcement and public health organizations on how the state might proceed on recognizing an adult's right to cultivate cannabis at home. They issued their report for today's December 1st deadline, outlining 3 potential scenarios for home growing. However, one scenario is to just keep the prohibition status quo, so there's really only 2 options offered. In option 1, the regulators propose a statewide framework for cannabis cultivation that requires an adult to secure a permit from the state, granting them the right to cultivate just 4 cannabis plants total in any household. Adults would have to report their cultivation and harvest into a state database. There would be mandatory security requirements to prevent diversion and access by children. Presumably, adults would still be subject to a 1-ounce possession limit. Finally, if police discovered you had more than your 4 legal plants, they can seize all your plants, not just the excess plants. That's option 1. In option 2, they considered that same framework, with the added feature of cities and counties either opting in or opting out of allowing any home grow permits. And we only have to look at the institution of moratoria and bans on medical marijuana dispensaries and recreational marijuana retailers to know how that's going to turn out. Adults west of the Cascade Mountains will be able to get permits, and those east of the mountains will be banned from getting permits. Meanwhile, in Oregon, adult use home cultivation requires no permit, no reporting, and no mandatory security requirements to cultivate the same 4 plant limit Washington is considering. Neither do any of the other legal marijuana jurisdictions, and some of them allow cultivation of more than 4 plants. However, Oregon's legislators recently passed some bills to curtail the rights of patients cultivating marijuana for their medical purposes. Medical marijuana patients in the Beaver State can cultivate 6 mature cannabis plants and 12 immature or non-flowering cannabis plants at home. They may possess 1.5 pounds of cannabis from those plants, which is 4 ounces per plant. They have no state reporting requirements. Now, it used to be that many patients could then grow cannabis at one location, with 6 plants and 1.5 pounds allowed for each patient. This led to a condition called card stacking, where growers would collect as many patient cards as they could to create large cannabis farms. That culminated in an embarrassing news story about a garden with 624 mature plants servicing 104 patients who all lived in Southern California. So, in addition to adding a state residency requirement for medical marijuana, the legislature decided that the maximum number of plants that could be grown at a home are 12 mature plants and 24 immature plants, regardless of how many patients live there. That includes any of the 4 legal recreational cannabis plants that can be grown in any household by a healthy adult. So, 12 total, no matter how many people live there, no matter recreational, 12 total. Well, the problem with that hard limit is that for every card-stacked grow that was abusing the system, there were many altruistic caregivers who were legitimately growing lots of cannabis to provide huge amounts of marijuana to the sickest, most disabled patients. To try to tiptoe that line between legitimate and abuse, the legislature has added more considerations for medical marijuana growers. If your medical grow is located within city limits in a residential zone, and it contains no patients growing for themselves, but rather is run by growers cultivating for patients, that grow may have 12 mature plants, 24 immature plants, but those immature plants may be over 24 inches tall. And they may cultivate an unlimited number of immature plants under 24 inches tall. So, this has led to a situation where a husband and wife who are both patients living at home who each grow for themselves would just get 12 mature plants and 24 immature plants, period. But if the husband grows for the wife and the wife grows for the husband, then they get 12 mature plants, 24 immature plants over 2 feet, and unlimited seedlings, plus another adult living in the home could grow their 4 additional recreational plants. Just by the husband and wife switching cards. But what if the grow isn't in the city? It's located outside the city. Or what if the grow is in the city but zoned non-residential? Well, then you get to cultivate 48 mature plants, 96 immature plants over 24 inches, unlimited seedlings, and someone else can also grow their 4 recreational plants. However, you may only cultivate a maximum of 6 mature plants and 12 immature plants per patient. So, your 48-plant garden must cover 8 patients. Furthermore, a grower can only cultivate for 4 patients, so the grow would have to have 2 growers. Are you confused yet? Imagine being a medical marijuana patient trying to figure this out. And during negotiations on these bills, some of the biggest compassionate growers pointed out that they were already serving more than 8 patients. So which of their cancer, AIDS, and PTSD patients should they abandon to meet the new limits? Well, that led the legislature to craft a grandfather clause for large grows that existed before 2015. If your site qualifies under that clause, you're allowed double the plant limits for your grow, up to 96 mature plants and 192 immature plants over 24 inches at a rural or non-residential grow, based on 6 plants per patient that you had before 2015 and still have today. Now, the other problem was that many of these large grows, especially in southern Oregon, are growing cannabis trees that can reach 20 feet tall. There's no way a 1.5-pound possession limit per patient would work out. So the legislature decided that if your grow was an indoor grow, you could have 6 pounds per mature plant. And an outdoor grow could have double that, 12 pounds per mature plant. Let that sink in for a moment. Run that math in your head. If you have an Oregon medical cannabis grow site in a place that's operated before 2015, and it has 4 growers cultivating for 16 patients, your grow site can have 96 mature plants. You can harvest 12 pounds each off of those plants for a total of 1,152 pounds, over a half ton of marijuana. Now, keep in mind, while the grow site can possess that much, the 1,152 pounds, the 16 patients are only allowed 1.5-pound possession each for a total of 24 pounds between them all. I wonder what then happens to the other 1,128 pounds. Well, for all these medical grow sites that are not simply a patient growing cannabis for themselves, there's also reporting requirements. First, the grow site must possess a scale that has been certified by the Oregon Liquor Control Commission for weighing the product. That cost comes in at around $300 to $900. Then the grower must pay a $200 fee to register the grow site for each patient that it is growing for. And if that grow is cultivating 12 or fewer plants, it can then sell back product into the medical dispensary system after paying for proper testing. The grow must also report its operations to the state health authority. But for these larger grows, the grow site may sell product back into the recreational marijuana system. They can sell up to 20 pounds. Yeah, they still have to buy the scale. They still have to pay $200 fee per patient. And the grower's got to pay a $40 a month fee to the recreational authority for access to the required online reporting. That works out to $480 a year. Plus another yet to be determined annual administration fee. So for that hypothetical grandfathered rural 16-patient garden producing over a half ton of marijuana, the cost would add up to at least $8,960, not counting the unknown administrative fee, and that's before all the expenses necessary just to secure and operate such a large garden. And to make up that cost, the state will let these growers sell up to 20 pounds of product to the adult pot shops per year. Huh. Again, begs the question, what then happens to the other 1,108 pounds? Oregon and Washington are making home marijuana cultivation so difficult because of the mandate to prevent out-of-state diversion called for by the Federal Department of Justice's so-called coal memo. Folks, it's a fool's errand. We had the greatest mandate ever to stop diversion for decades. It was called prohibition. Any cultivation by anybody anywhere led to a felony record and prison time. If that didn't stop weed from flowing eastward, why do these regulators think easily cheatable online reporting databases and labyrinthine regulatory requirements and massive fees and costs, what makes them think that's going to work? When it comes to legal cultivation, the solution is simple. Let the people grow. Period. Don't set unenforceable limits. Don't require useless regulations and registrations and maintain easily corruptible databases. None of this will have any real effect on criminal intent, but it will needlessly curtail adult rights and it will have devastating effects on patient needs. Oh, but what about diversion? Well, look, don't define possession of certain amounts of plants or marijuana as per se evidence someone intends to traffic weed. If you catch them trafficking weed, bust them. You know, like we do for cigarettes and alcohol. You can possess as much of those as you like. But if you sell them without a license, you're busted. After all, it's not nuclear weapons. It's pot. What's the worst that will happen? That some adult in a non-legal state might commit a crime by buying some of this marijuana from another adult who committed a crime to get it to them? And then they might get high? You know, like they're already doing now? It's insane, people. I had to write a full 8.5 by 11 page flowchart just to figure out how many medical marijuana plants a grow could have and how much it would cost. Hey folks, thanks for joining us. That's all we got for now. Till next time, take care of each other, tokers.
Follow MJ Agenda on Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, YouTube, and follow MJ Agenda Show on Twitter. Learn more at MJAgenda.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down.